Well, if you haven't picked up on it yet, the theme of my message this morning is that God is still God, even when we're anxious and filled with anxiety. The title of my message is Good News for Anxious Sheep. Now, you don't have to raise your hand this morning, but how many of you would say, I'm a little anxious about some stuff in my life? Okay, I told you didn't have to raise your hands, but that's fine. By the way, what do you call a twitching ship at the bottom of the ocean? A nervous wreck. Turning your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Good news. I've got good news for you, anxious sheep. Good news. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, by the way, don't we have some wonderful young men? Aiden and, where are you? Aiden and RJ and Ray back there doing a wonderful job at the tech booth. And Joey back there, I see you. Some wonderful young men. And Noah, good to have you this morning. Let's remember Christian, he is in basic training. Wow, I can't imagine the excitement he's experiencing right now. remember him in our prayers. He's having a great time, I'm sure. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Everybody take a deep breath. Let's read this next one together. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Let's read that again. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. How many, for some of you this morning, that's just living water to a dry desert soul. Listen, after you have suffered a little while, he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Praise to all of you who are in Christ. Amen. When I mentioned the young men, I realized I forgot to mention Brother Brad. Brother Brad is recovering nicely from knee surgery. He is in Pinecrest, and let's just pray that he makes it all the way back here by next Sunday. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? He's due to be released there after his knee surgery. Our text this morning is set in the context of God's watch care over us. I remember a term back when I was a Baptist. I still am a little bit Baptist, but way back in the years ago when I was Baptist, that never really, you can get the boy out of the Baptist church, but you can't get the Baptist out of boy, something like that. I remember a term that was mentioned. It was called watch care ministry. And I remember not having a clue what that was. But as I was studying for this sermon, I realized that that's what this is. The Apostle Peter is encouraging the elders of the church to extend watch care ministry over the flock. In other words, they were to be shepherds of the sheep that came within the fold. They were to be cared for. They were to be watched. And just a little side note here, in the context of a Baptist church ministry, that means that if you are going to college in a town where your membership isn't, you're invited into that church and you can enjoy the benefits of being a member. You can be involved in all kinds of stuff while retaining your membership back at home. It means that while you're here, we are going to watch out for you. We are going to care for you. You can be part of the sheep just like you are at home. You're here. You're one of us. I like that. So God is saying through the Apostle Peter to the church that is scattered abroad, scattered all over, he says, shepherds, elders among you, take careful watch care of the sheep that are within your care. For we know that the chief shepherd, this is written to all of us, we know that the chief shepherd, who is God, is going to be coming soon. In other words, we're just doing what we're doing for now, temporarily, until the chief shepherd comes back and tells us what to do next and takes control of his flock and leads us on home into glory in the promised land. Well, we know that the pressures that we experience in life can be overwhelming sometimes. And I want you to look at the sheep that is on your far left this morning. And all of them look a little bit on guard. They look like, you know, they got their ears kind of at attention. And they're watching to see what the viewer of the sheep is going to do, because they are ready to do something. I want you to look at the second picture now, the sheep that is there. And now maybe a little closer. Got one more there. I was looking at him, I'm thinking he has just more than a little anxiety. He's maybe been grazing a little too long in the coffee patch or something. He's like, whoa! How many of you can relate to that when life is like, got you on guard, ready to jump, ready to run, and you're like, ah, I'm stressing out here. I mean, can his eyes get any wider? So the Apostle Peter writes to the church, away from home, scattered abroad, feeling like they're not quite home, feeling like their immediate culture that is around them, their values don't fit with theirs. They're looking forward to the day of completion. But honestly, right now, life is a struggle. And I think that reality certainly transcends time. Life's been a struggle since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. What we are struggling against is not flesh and blood, amen? We struggle against the power of evil in and around us. In the midst of this chapter, though, of life, as difficult as it is, the Apostle Peter encourages the church. He said, as hard as it is right now, as difficult as it is, as much as situations are pressing you and you are feeling anxious, let's make the most of this. Amen? Let's put the pedal to the metal and make sure that we are gaining ground for the kingdom. Let's not surrender in our anxiety. Let's not surrender to the pressures, to the contempt of others. Let's just keep on serving Jesus. I love what the Apostle Peter says. He leads us in loving one another deeply from the heart. We talked about that several weeks ago. Talks about the importance of good deeds, which we're reminded two things. It silences when we do good deeds. The good deeds themselves, they speak. The good deeds speak of our testimony, of our life. Good deeds silence the talk of foolish people, Scripture says in 1 Peter. Good deeds also helps us show even the most antagonistic toward the gospel the love of God, and helps us introduce our Lord and Savior to them. The apostle also reminds the church that we are to be people of peace, that we are to be people who seek and pursue peace. After that, we looked at God's inspiration to Peter as he wrote about perspective, that we are to be people who, in the midst of everything going on, in the midst of the struggle and the pressure that you're under, what's the first thing you must do? Not get more active, but pray. Pray. Prayer aligns the willing heart to Christ's perspective. I think one of the underlying tones and themes of this morning's message is rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What's the opposite of that? More activity. And honestly, that's what I'm prone to do. When things get deep, I'm wired to paddle like there's no tomorrow. I may be calm on the upside, but on the underside, I am paddling like crazy. That's why I need this message this morning as well. Last Sunday, we also talked about everybody's favorite subject, attitude. And the reality is that when we yield to going ahead and embracing a poor attitude or a bad attitude, we're surrendering to the temptation and the belief that this set of circumstances that I'm dealing with right now is really bigger than Christ's lordship. In other words, I'm not sure I can trust him to turn this around for his glory and my good. Attitude, we should have the same attitude, the apostle says, as that of Christ Jesus. Even when things get really difficult, really tough, as they did for Christ. So today, to the exiles, I've got good news for anxious sheep. Dad and Mom, I'm sure you remember, I don't remember how old I was, it must have been about 10 or 12 when we got those two sheep from Mary and Zimke. Was it Mary and Zimke? I had no experience with sheep at all. And we had two beef cows on the property. And I remember Dad buying two full-grown sheep. And I had this image of these gentle, cuddly animals that you could sink your fingers into their wool, and it was so amazing, and they would just nuzzle you and love that, and it would be so amazing to have these sheep as my friends. As soon as they opened the trailer gate, I saw another side of sheep that I have never seen before. These things can jump. They can jump like Superman. They can kick like a mule. They can push you. They can bolt. They can dodge. They can zig. They can zag. And I thought, surely I can make them my friend. And so I remember trying to coach them in with a little bit of food in my hand. And I can remember the first thing they did as soon as they could see me was run for the hills, run for cover, run for the timber. And I'll never forget the image that I had of them, their little legs just going as fast as they could away from me. And that's a picture of what it feels like to be anxious, at least for me. And I had this image of what must these sheep have encountered in their life. And all I could think of is they've been chased relentlessly by some wild dogs or something. I mean, they're so skittish and so jumpy. They never got to the place where they warmed up to us at all. I don't remember specifically, but I can only imagine what it was like when we tried to put them in the trailer to get them off the property. They were very anxious and nervous. Jeanette tells me that one of the most common problems that she works with in her office, and as well this is goes with counselors across the board, is anxiety. Some common symptoms of anxiety are cognitive anxiety, which would present itself as indecision, confusion, negative thoughts, poor concentration, irritability, loss of confidence, and constant images in your mind of failure. There's somatic anxiety, which would present itself with increased blood pressure, sweating, adrenaline boosts, need to go to the bathroom a lot, both ways. There's no good way to say that. I really did struggle with, how do I say that? But that was the best I could come up with. Muscle tension, pacing, yawning, nausea, vomiting, loss of appetite, sleeplessness. And then there's behavioral anxiety, like biting our nails or covering our face with our hands or fidgeting or avoiding eye contact. I had a gentleman in the chair, barber chair, yesterday. And we're talking about his life since he experienced open heart surgery. And he said, I can't explain to you what has happened in my life since my open heart surgery. He said, I am now extremely claustrophobic. He said, I cannot stand to be in a small room. I cannot stand to be confined. He said, it just makes me want to just jump out of my skin. And he says, I've had anxiety attacks. And he said, if you've never lived through an anxiety attack, let me tell you, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And I'm going to take his word for it. I don't think I've ever lived through one, but I'm going to take his word for it that they are terrible. I've heard people talk about inability to breathe, feeling like they can't get their breath, feeling like they're going to die, feeling like the world is closing in on them, and many other symptoms. To be honest, this letter of 1 Peter speaks very deeply to me as an individual, as a person. It's not only the letter that I received my call, my ministry, my life call to, which is 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. 1 Peter 4:10, but also in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on me, because I care for you. To be honest, this verse about anxiety is one that I leaned on very heavily. I have all my life, but especially when I discovered it our first year of marriage. When we became adults really fast and began to face adult-sized problems. We were newly married, had bills to pay, had started college, and we were working and trying to figure life out. I remember hearing that verse for the first time when it really resonated in my soul. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. There's many examples of anxiety in the Scriptures. I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of them. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Jesus has been telling his guys that he's going to be leaving, and they're not hearing it. It's not that they're rejecting the message, it's just that they're not understanding what he means when he says, I'm going to be going away. And as they begin to grasp it, Jesus immediately begins to minister to them and their anxiety. And he says this, Do not let your hearts be troubled, anxious filled, full of worry. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Now, everybody's doing pretty good until this point. The disciples are like, all right, everybody take a deep breath. Jesus is leaving, but it's going to be okay. And Thomas is having an anxiety attack. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Take a deep breath, Thomas. Okay. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, it's not where we're going. It's all about who. Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I think, like Thomas, sometimes we get a little unnerved when there's details that we don't know. That's when we've got the opportunity to ramp up and surrender to our emotions and our anxiety. And don't get me wrong, anxiety is deeply wired. It's wired into the fight or flight chemicals of our body. It's not simply a choice, it's a reaction. It's there, created by God for a purpose. So it's not wrong to feel panic or anxiety. It's part of who we are. It's a beautiful design. But I think sometimes to just go there and not remember that Jesus is Lord, we're only seeing a very small part of the picture. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, things are going quite well for the king of Judah. Everybody say, King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat. Isn't that a fun name? If Alyssa and Tiffany were having boys, I think I might have suggested, name him Jehoshaphat. She goes, what? No. Things were going quite well for the king of Judah, King Jehoshaphat. Sure, he made some mistakes, but he loved and obeyed God, and he was loyal to God too. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 3 through 6. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because in his early years he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not consult the Baals, but sought, that's not hay bales, that's false gods of the Canaanites, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel when they were being disobedient. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. And I'm going to need some juice here. There we go. Thank you. Must have just had a dead battery happen. See, Brad, you can never leave. We need you. All right. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 3 and 9, just to flesh out the picture a little more. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 3 and 9. And 9. Now I've got Mike busy finding a battery. So sorry. We need to multiply Mike or have Brad back. 2 Corinthians chapter 19. There we are. Can you get verse 3 there? Do you have that, Mike? There is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of the Asherah poles, and have set your heart on seeking God. Verse 9.
He gave them these orders: you must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. Bill's up to something. I'm just not sure. Should I be getting something ready? Okay. All right. Okay. So King Jehoshaphat was doing the right thing. He was serving God. He was eliminating the Asherah poles. He was taking down the high places. He wasn't surrendering and worshiping the Baals. But something tragic was about to happen. Suddenly there was trouble. Two countries on each side of Judah began to muster up forces, and they recruited the surrounding armies, and they decided that the bunch of them were going to attack Judah. They all came to attack, and it was to Jehoshaphat a complete surprise. They had no idea. He had no idea that they were coming. Now, he also knew that his army was just like a speck of dust compared to the armies that were getting ready to invade. God was their only chance. If he would help them, they would succeed. If he wasn't there, they could only imagine. It was natural for him to be very anxious. Judah had no military strength. I think I lost another microphone.
Did you put a battery in this one? Thank you. So sorry. So it was natural for King Jehoshaphat to be very anxious. Judah had no military strength. Cruel neighbors were seeking to attack them. And now Jehoshaphat's worst fears were coming into reality. Listen to what God said to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 and 17. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your possessions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Now, every time I get worked up, every time I get anxious and full of anxiety, that's where I need to go, amen? Let's look at the second place, the second thing that Jehoshaphat did. Second thing he did was appoint a praise team. I love this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord. Now that's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? When you're full of anxiety, the enemy is pushing in. I can speak for myself. I'm like getting every resource gathered I can to fight. It may present itself in defensiveness. It may present itself in just hard work. And then you got God instructing Jehoshaphat that the first thing he's to do is to appoint a praise team. I love that. It means that the first thing that we can do when we're anxious is to give praise to God. Look at, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out with not a prayer in the world to win against this army, as they went out, at the head of the army, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." When you're full of anxiety and there's pressures and there's fears encroaching on your soul, I like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Let that be our response to the anxiety. Let that be our response to the enemy. Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. Listen to the result. 2 Corinthians 20, verse 30. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Now, let me just fill in what happened there. The armies that were coming to attack Judah, they actually fought themselves, and they defeated themselves. Next is King David. David was being chased by Saul. Remember, Saul was so jealous. All you got to do is look over there in Psalm 13. Maybe you can read that this afternoon. It's David full of anxiety. It's David full of worry because Saul is coming in to attack him. He's seeking him out. And then there's Psalm 51 where David has sinned with Bathsheba. And his soul is so heavy with sin and seeking repentance. It's full of anxiety. In conclusion this morning, Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. This again written by David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to bring it back around this morning as we conclude. He makes me lie down in green pastures. We don't like to be made to do anything. But one of the Ten Commandments is what? Remember the Sabbath. God says, if you're going to follow me, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to make you lie down. Now we know from study of biology and physiology and psychology that if we don't take time according to God's created rhythm, we will deplete that reserve of adrenaline and deplete that reserve of energy, emotional and physical and mental, and we will go down. But that's not what God's talking about. It says here, He makes me lie down. I would rather, I think, and God would rather, I think, see us yield to His invitation to rest. So here's the thing. Anxiety is like a mosquito. If you're outside, they're going to find you. And that's about as far as that illustration is going to go, and that's as far as I'm going to take it. But you know what it's like. Oh, man, all I want to do is... Oh. You're going to have to make a conscious effort to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your anxiety. Your peace is not the absence of struggle. Your peace is an acknowledgement of the presence of God, where you're at, and what you're dealing with. He is here. I will be with you. Be still. be still and know that I am God. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. I'd like to invite the worship team to come on up. That psalm ends in such a beautiful way. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Jews were, of course, very familiar with what it was to be slaves, to have a nomadic past filled with wanderings in the desert. They even worshiped in a tent for 40 years. They knew what it was like to be travelers, to be wandering. What music to their soul it would have been to hear the words, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It means to us today, it's a great reminder that everything we're dealing with is temporary. It's that fast in light of eternity. I don't know how Jesus would say it if he were here this morning except through his word. But Jesus says, "My peace I give you. I do not give peace like the world gives." And I believe that's a wonderful little invitation to us this morning to find our rest, not in the absence of things to do and obligations to meet, but to find our rest in Him, amen. That He has been faithful and He's never failed. Rest in Him. Good news for anxious sheep, of which I are one. Rest, John. Rest. Joe, rest in Him. Caitlin, rest in Him. Deb, rest. Find your peace in Him, amen. Dee, rest. Steve, rest. Isn't it great when the Lord of the universe says to do something and it's just like, "Oh, thank you. You've just given me permission, God, to do what I've known I've needed to do." Don't let the enemy of your soul push you into denying the Christ Lordship of Jesus. Rest for your soul is an acknowledgement of His Lordship. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you today. Thank you for your peace that passes understanding. Thank you for your love that keeps us even when life is going 100 miles an hour. Thank you today, Lord, that there is peace even for the people who are in North and South Carolina. And their peace is not based on what's going on around them, but their peace, Lord, for those who seek you, is in that this is temporary. That you are God, and that you will sustain and you are faithful. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us to come all the way home, your home, with you. Lead us now into your rest, into your peace, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and sing. Thank you.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me.
Rest.
Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Let's just thank Him for His love.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, but I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Right now, at the end of the service and everything, you might already be thinking about what you're doing next. My brain is. It takes a conscious effort to worship, a constant rest in Him.
Yes.
Let's rest. Worship. Love Him. There's nothing more important going on. It's good. Just rest. Worship. Take this time. It's a moment in time.
When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I don't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness this morning. We relish worship. It's one moment in the week that we can pause and just rest in you. Thank you for that gift this morning, Lord. Thank you for the gift of your peace and rest. Help us carry it with us now. Lord, help us carry you. Lord, be Lord of everything in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of announcements as we close this morning. Jeanette says, I would like to invite all ladies to a baby sprinkle for Alyssa. Help us bless her with kindness in anticipation of the arrival of our precious little one in October. I think she stepped out for a minute. Oh, is he back there? Okay. The baby sprinkle will be September 22nd at 2 right here at Living Well. And also the ladies' exercise and Bible study is on hold for now. That was on Saturday, so we're going to hold on that for a little while. And the Well, it's a partnership with KSB and Living Well. It takes place every Tuesday and Thursday night. We're going to be setting up for that. If you would help us to set up for that right after the service would be wonderful. Appreciate that very much. All right, that's all I have.
And I'm not sure if I put the doxology on that. There, God bless you, Mike.
Yeah.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Yes. Go in peace. Share the good news.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never Yeah.
job, dudes. You dudes.